There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out all points bulletin. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Facts, Jones,
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Is this thing on? It is. Can I talk now, Lou? Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Stronghold Radio. Is that what you call this thing? Dutch can't be with us this evening. My name is Tree Manhandler. I'm a neighbor of Dutch's, and I've been asked to do the show. I've done some local dinner theater, and that's about it. So I don't know if I'll do that well for the show, but Dutch says his condolences. He's away at a lingerie show in Vegas. I don't know if you knew this or if he even wanted you to know this, but he designs lingerie for obese pets, and he's away, so I'll be, and I'm Tree Manhandler. I don't know if I said that or not, but I'll be doing the show this evening, and I do listen to Dutch's show from time to time, so I do understand the type of thing that he speaks about, so I've selected a few things, and what? I'm supposed to, welcome and thank you for tuning in. Lou's giving me hand cues and holding up cards for me. I'm like Obama. I'm using cue cards in the studio. This is Stronghold Radio, and we are in Central California, and we're in a little town called Kawea, and this is a, what's that word? Millicent? This is a militant Christian radio program, and we try to bring you the best things that we can, and to deal with liberty and freedom and things like that. So I hope you're having a good time. Let me give out the phone number in case you wish to call in. It is 559. I can't read that handwriting, Lou. Lou, why are you making those hand signals at me? Don't be rude, Lou. 559. Stop miming it, Lou, and just hold up the phone number, please. Hang on a second. Do you have music or something you could play right now? I'm Tree Manhandler, and I appear to be having problems. I think this was a bad idea. I don't think I should have done this show. Let's go to a commercial. Play a commercial or something, young man. I'm going to do what I can.
Have I got a question for you? Did you ever go fishing? Did you ever go fishing? Did you ever go fishing on a bright sunny day? Sit on a fence and have the fence give way. Slide off the fence and rip your pants and see the little fishes do the hoochie-coochie dance. Did you ever go fishing? Huh? Did you ever go fishing? Did you? Did you ever go fishing on a bright sunny day? Sit on a fence and have the fence give way. Slide off the fence and
okay, just
pants.
Turn it off, Lou. I try to do one thing. I get a little behind schedule. I apologize, folks. I don't know why Lou thought that was funny, but I got hung up. Lou clogged the toilet, and I had to stay in the house and fix it. And I said, just play some music. For the first few minutes I come up here, he's sitting in my chair doing weird voices. I apologize. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Stronghold Radio. This isn't over, Lou.
That was you.
This isn't over, Lou. Don't. Not. This is a very serious thing here, Lou. And you, I can't believe you let him do it.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I can't take a break. I can't do anything. And you guys just make a mockery of what it is I do. Am I a joke to you guys?
Kinda.
Anyway, this is Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones. Never let your kids go to work for you. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm down there, and I've got the computer on in the bathroom while I'm plunging away at that log thing in there, the broken toilet that Lou left us. And I'm hearing Lou on here doing, what was that?
That was you.
Tree manhandler, your alter ego. That's the kind of radio you're going to get, because I'm going to have to find a full-time job, because we're going to have to get a new toilet now. Thank you, Lou. Anyway, I am Dutch Jones. This is Stronghold Radio, and I apologize for that. I will never be late again. I will do my best. I don't even... Lingerie for a beast pets. Really, that's what you think I do when I'm not here, Lou? Seriously, that's what you want to tell the people. Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back, making fun of me? You should be ashamed of yourself. I have to put childproof locks on the soundboard. Anyway, welcome. It's been a nice weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We weren't here Friday again, were we? Where were we? We were down in the valley doing something and we didn't get on the air. Oh, I remember. Yeah, we were down in the valley and we were too long and we didn't have enough equipment to go on the air, so we stayed off. I'm sorry if you missed me. Makes you love me more. Makes you miss me more. Otherwise, I could just put Lou on all the time with his funny voices. But we were gone. The weekend was full of some pretty amazing stuff. Obongo denying that there's a problem with jobs. Israel fired on a couple thousand Syrians that approached their border and killed like 200 of them or something. I saw the pictures of that. It was pretty amazing. Yemen kicked out their president by shooting him in the head with an RPG and making him go to Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Just stuff going on all over the place. Representative Wiener admitted that he was sending semi-nude pictures of himself to women. Our country is just... Our world. No, it's not even our country. It's our world is falling apart. I spent the whole weekend just watching news and reading articles, and I was counting how many stabbings, shootings, murders, baby rapers there were just in my three-county area, and... I have to admit this. We drove by a church right next to Stacy's parents' house, and there's a big banner up. End times are coming, you know, tsunamis, floods, fires, terrorists, all kinds of stuff. Who's calling me?
I don't know.
And all kinds of stuff. And somebody just texted me the word dogs. Oh, well. And, you know, come Sunday at 10:30 to find out where this fits in biblically. And it's like, you know... And normally I get really, oh, thanks, Dwayne. I get really mad and angry, you know, at this end time stuff. But it kind of softened a little bit because now I understand why they're getting to where they are. They're watching the news and reading the newspaper. I mean, I read Yahoo, but I specifically look for military type stuff, martial stuff, world events, New World Order specific things. But the general news that's out there is just mind-bogglingly depressing. The little town Exeter, just south of us, some 20-year-old guy raped and beat to death a 2.5-year-old girl.
It was his girlfriend's baby. It's getting weird.
And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's just normal news. Over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday morning, there were shootings every day within the three-county area. In fact, somebody died. Some baby died.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Palo Alto. That wasn't in our county. But still, I mean, so these people, these sheeple, are sitting there watching this news. And they're seeing this crime and grime every day coming into their eye holes, into their brain. And I can't believe I'd ever say this. I kind of understand where they're getting it. Because they're on the bottom end of a disgusting funnel of mind-wrenching stories. Now, I'm not saying they don't happen, but I'm saying when you get those things out of context, all shoved down your throat every day at 5, 6, 7, 11, I think it was 24 hours on the 24-hour news stories. Fox, I turned it on Fox just to have in the background while I was reading stuff on the computer, and they kept going to that trial in Florida. What's her name? Casey
Casey Anthony or that young little prostitute girl duct taped or did something. She chloroformed her daughter so she could go party, and the daughter died, so she threw her in the trunk of the car and then threw her in a swamp. Drove around with her dead baby in the car for several days and then threw her in the... And beautiful girl. I would have taken her.
Yeah.
Just all over the country, all over the world, they're pulling in stories, shootings. Our soldiers are getting... And to kind of transition into it, we lost a bunch of soldiers in Iraq. Rocket attacks on our soldiers in Iraq still. Just, you know, yeah, we're wearing that war. All you people out there, I keep getting these emails. You militia guys, that's Lou's voice. You militia guys are all alike. You know, you think you can stand against the modern military army. Well, I'm here to tell you, a carload of guys in Iraq, a bunch of ragheads with some RPGs and AK-47, sure do a lot of damage against these modern, trained, highly technical, modern land-based warriors, don't they? Don't they? Weird stuff. I mean, that we keep losing people at this level. You know, you see bombs going off in Afghanistan. You got stuff going on now. Armenian Christians seceded from Azerbaijan, I think is the name of it, if I'm pronouncing it right. And now the Muslims said they're going to invade and take it over. So the Christians up, I didn't even know there were any Armenians still left over there. I don't know what they're doing there. They need to get out of the area. But there's that war going on. There's Sudan. In the Sudan, the UN is saying that the Muslims have been committing war crimes. Well, no kidding. It's been a 10-year war full of war crimes. They're only saying it now. All around the world, Christians and good people in general are being slaughtered by evil people. And in our cities, the zombies are killing the good people. So I kind of understand it. I think I finally I crossed a threshold, because I don't watch a lot of television. And when I do, I usually stick to documentaries and watch history shows and things like that. You know, Ice Road Truckers. Mm-hmm. I really like Ice Road Truckers. And I get all mad at those guys. It's a man opera, man soap opera. You know, what are those, Deadliest Catch, all that kind of stuff. So it's manly to watch them. Manly. And but what confuses me the most is why they don't try and find answers when they get all this information poured into their brains. I see that and I want to go, wow, what's behind that? I don't just read the article. I want to look at the statistics behind it. Like, great article I can't remember if you found it first or me, Stacy. In Arizona, and God bless them, a judge in Arizona, and I'll find the article here somewhere. I found it first. A Brazilian or Chilean or... Okay, where is this? Real man. Oh, here it is. I love this. This guy's accused of molesting his children. There's a custody battle going on. I don't know all the story behind it, because I know that sometimes, you know, it's real easy for a woman to destroy a man by saying he molested my kids. But they did an investigation in Arizona. This is in Prescott, Arizona. And an Arizona judge sets a bond at $75 million cash only. Now, normally, if you get a bond at $75 million, let's say it was $100,000, you have to come up with $10,000, and then the rest is put forward by a bondsman or something. But this one, the judge said, no, I want all $75 million in cash. When a Brazilian, it was Brazilian, man was charged in Arizona with a dozen felony counts of alleged sexual misconduct with his minor children, he wasn't eligible for bond under state law, so he would normally not get any bond. Those charges were replaced with an indictment last year alleging two counts of continuous sexual abuse, and the father could be free if he posted the following bond, $75 million cash only. Because he's a flight risk, he could go to Brazil. And for those of you that don't know, Brazil does not extradite child rapers. It's in the extradition treaty agreement. I looked it up. Child molesters, baby rapers, they don't extradite them. They do drug dealers, known terrorists, things like that, but not baby rapers. So what's that say about the moral foundations and compass of Brazil? The bond, which must be paid in full to secure the defendant's release, is perhaps one of the highest on record. Now, to give you an idea, Osama bin Laden would have faced a $25 million bond. The bind, torture, kill serial killer, Dennis Rader, was only $10 million. Jeffrey Dahmer, to give you an idea, it was at Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right? I looked this up. He was only $1 million for a cannibal fag raper. So this guy, there must have been a lot of evidence they gave him a $75 million bond. It's almost like an up yours deal, said Bruce Griffin, who's defending the man. I love that defense attorney. Yeah, he's telling us up ours, the judge. It's so out of the ballpark, it's offensive, it's wrong, and it's mean-spirited. No. Anybody that rapes a child, it's nice to see Arizona judges, something good coming out of there. Now, prosecutors, and I can't pronounce this, Y-A-V-A-P-A-I, I'm going to say Yavapai, Yavapai, I'm probably way wrong, some kind of Pi County, wouldn't comment on the case, but argued in court documents that the man is a flight risk. If he left to Brazil, there's no guarantee that country would extradite him to the United States to face the charges. His ex-wife further argued that she and the other children fear for their safety if he's released. Not only would it be an endangerment to the children, but, he will also run, she told the judge during a hearing last month. He's highly manipulative, secretive, and a gifted liar. He easily sways people to feel sorry for him. The Associated Press typically does not identify victims of sexual abuse and is withholding the names of the children and parents. Well, of the mother and stuff. The allegations of sexual abuse arose from the couple... after the couple initiated divorce proceedings in 2007. According to court documents, the defense claims the children's mother and a psychotherapist manufactured the charges to keep the father from seeing the three children. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Prosecutor says that the mother is in denial. She doesn't agree with the therapist. When they first told her that the childs were possibly victims of sexual abuse, the mother didn't agree with it. In fact, she is not the accuser. The state and the children are. The children are the ones that are making claim against the father. Kind of scary stuff. And I know, in fairness, they could be manipulated. Dozens of people in and around Sedona, where the family lived for the past 15 years, have rallied around the defendants and the defendant and are arguing for his release. Yeah. Interesting, though. $75 million. I think that Arizona's got some weird stuff going on there. Are you guys in the chat room hearing me? I don't see. I'm not in here, am I?
No, that's why I asked.
Let's see. Am I still in there? I just got kicked out. Where are they even commenting on what I'm talking about? Nothing? I don't know. Is this thing on? Hello. Really weird. Let me make sure I'm on. Mine just went blank. Are you okay over there? Let me see what you got over there. Nobody's commenting. Oh, well, I'll do the show for myself then, since I can't tell if anybody's in there. Weird stuff, really, really weird stuff. On a smaller note here, I don't know if any of you guys fly fish, but there's been this weird, weird thing, and I'm just do a little note on this because I hate fashion. There's this special rooster feather that's used to make fishing flies. Now, I think real men use bait, but that's just me. And it's become a trend that whatever this feather is, women are putting it in their hair. So this rooster feather that used to be about $60 for a big old bag of them has now gone up to $200, $300 a bag. So these women are walking around with these fishing lure feathers in their hair all over the country. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I just think it's stupid. If I catch a woman up here doing it, we're going to tie her feet and then drag her behind a boat, and I'll see if we can catch anything. But I hate fashion. I just think it's stupid because now all these fly fishermen are going to do without what they need. I'm not going to do this story. This story is kind of vulgar. The one about the Muslim women saying they have to be prostitutes in bed. Yeah, I don't want to do that one. That's a cute little story, but no. Let me go here. I love this one, the seatbelt one. I can do this one here. Oh, yes. Are we back in the room yet? Weird. Okay, now I finally got back in the chat room. I almost spelled a bad word. I just randomly hit letters and it spelled out something nasty. I had to delete it. Okay. Let me try hello. Huh?
See what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's what I'm thinking. Now, we're always talking about seatbelt laws up here now. I differ with some people on this one. I wear a seatbelt mostly everywhere I go because I've seen a lot of windshields with faces in them. You know, ground into them. And I know the statistics can play either way. If somebody's wearing a seatbelt or not, they could have lived. They could have, you know, survived. They could have died. I know our pastor is really against seatbelts. He's always fighting in the courts over it. But I, coming from a public safety background, think if you want to wear one, wear one. If you don't want to wear one, don't wear one. But I do. If I had a baby, it would be buckled into a seat. I've seen too many kids propelled through the windshield and become road pizza. The things I've seen would give most of you nightmares where you probably wouldn't sleep if you'd seen them for a while. I know I didn't sleep for a while. But in Austin, Texas, a scared 10-year-old Central Texas boy who stuck his head out of the passenger seat window to get some fresh air says he was ticketed by police for improper seatbelt usage after it slipped off his shoulder. Marshall May, a fourth grader at Jim Plain Elementary School in Leander, Texas, just north of Austin, was on his way home in a minivan when he stuck his head out of the window and his seatbelt slipped off, he said. Now, a Leander police officer pulled over the van that Marshall's 19-year-old aunt Ashley Arriando was driving and gave the boy a ticket after a brief discussion on Tuesday. It's Tuesday of last week. Not tomorrow. I don't go into the future. He said, "You were wearing your seatbelt incorrectly. Sorry, but click it or ticket," Marshall said. Remember, they're doing the big thing. I've been seeing all the commercials, click it or ticket. I want to come up with some nice way. I haven't worked it out yet, but it's like click it or ticket. Go stick it. But I haven't come up with the wording yet for it, but I'd love to have a bumper sticker. I get pulled over all the time, or Stacy would. I'm not driving. Apparently, the child wasn't properly wearing the belt because it wasn't covering the top of his chest, said Marshall's stepmother, Christy May. But Texas law states clearly that the adult in the car is at fault when a child isn't properly secured by a seatbelt. Marshall's aunt, however, was not ticketed. Now, interim Leander City Manager Robert Powers told the Austin American-Statesman, that's the newspaper I'm reading from, that the police officer just made a mistake, but it wasn't anything egregious or malicious. Yeah. The police department has taken procedural steps that may lead to the ticket's dismissal, but the municipal court must decide whether to actually dismiss it, Powers said. See how the wheels of justice, once they're going, they can't be stopped? It's so impersonal. A cop just can't tear up a ticket. Hey, once I sign that ticket, that's it. I was really scared, Marshall said Thursday. That's the little boy. He made me sign my signature, but I don't have a signature. I'm only 10 years old, he said. So the boy printed his full name instead, which is pretty good. Those people out there that understand printing versus signing are going to go, good move, son. I thought it was a joke until I saw the actual ticket, said Marshall's father, Gabriel. I think they should drop it. Here in California, the seatbelt thing is an obnoxious, piratous, invasive tool that the police are using now. Man, they're writing so many tickets. They have officers, both local, or all of them, sheriff, local, and stateies, as we used to call them back east. Out here, they're called Highway Patrol. That's all they do. They're just out to collect seatbelt fee generation. That's what they do. They go out and find you. And it's by the time you get done with a seatbelt now, it could be a couple $1,000. A youth, I think, was what did we say? $450 it starts with without the court fees? Someone under 16? And they'll pull you over, and I know firsthand three people who had their seatbelt on, but the police just made it up. They just said, no, I pulled them over because I didn't have a seatbelt on. Boom, 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 and then they write all these other tickets, you know. Thing hanging from your rearview mirror, gas cap not tight enough, tire. They're even talking in California, testing your tire inflation. If you're not optimizing your tire inflation, you're burning fuel, so you're going to give you an environmental impact ticket. I'm telling you, folks, it's getting out of hand. So this 10-year-old in Texas gets pulled over sticking his head out of the window. Because, you know, you stick your head out the window, the seatbelt will slip off. I'm leaning to demonstrate here. Watch closely. It just slipped off. Over, and it probably went across his bicep. Boom. Cop was there like a hawk. I got to write you a ticket, son. Get out of the car. And it's here. We were telling you about the DUI checkpoints. Two things happened. It was kind of weird. Right after a local radio host, obviously, because I actually posted a rant on his website about how these things were fascist and Nazi, and then a couple days later, he did a story on it. I'd like to think I instigated it, but it's such an obvious affront to liberty that maybe he just came across it or somebody else did. But on KMJ, 580 AM, Ray Appleton did 2 hours on it. On these DUI checkpoints being a farce. Well, then, like, 3 days later, they published in the paper, because he said if they were really about safety, they would do it near liquor stores and bars. They wouldn't do it on main streets, and they wouldn't just randomly take people's cars. So what they did is they set one up out in front of, like, two bars, where two bars were on opposite corners, and they got, like, four or five DUIs. you know, to go, look, no, we don't always do it that way. But last night, they did it again.
Actually, they got 11.
They impounded
11 DUIs, but impounded 18 cars.
Yeah, impounded 18 cars, got 11 DUIs.
For not having a license.
Not having a driver's license or registration or insurance.
Yeah.
And they towed them, and
they weren't supposed to do that.
No, and they were saying they don't do that; that they only get DUIs.
That's
now,
a lie.
Yeah, it's completely a lie. But there is a bill pending in California that will make it they can't do that. But I went and looked it up in Fresno. If your car is impounded because you didn't, let's say you didn't have a driver's license, expired plates, mm-hmm. and you didn't have insurance, the combined fee to get it back. So you go get your registration paid, which will probably cost you a fortune. You go get insurance. You go get a driver's license. Even if you left it on your dresser, you left the proof on your dresser. So let's say you did that. You go, you call somebody to come get you. To get your car back, and after you pay court fees, is $3,400. And that's if you do it right away, because they charge you, depending on the tow yard, a couple hundred dollars a day, plus the hookup and the tow charge. So they're generating money for these private vultures, too, instead of just having you park it over there. So the cops are getting desperate. Why? Their jobs are at stake because the budgets are low. The coffers are empty, and they've got to pay for this stuff somehow. So they're telling the cops to go out, put down their donuts, get that radar gun up, and start writing tickets. Here, I think they'll only give you like a 2 mile per hour over the speed limit tolerance now. And they will come after you, and they will write you everything they possibly can, because they know that their pensions, their livelihood is at stake. Now, that's not why people should become police officers. It's completely torn up and upside down and inside out now. But it's getting ridiculous here in California. It's getting ridiculous everywhere. I can't find... Okay, I got too many things open on my pooter. Pulling a person over is not an energy impact, too. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, the music's rolling here. We'll be back after the break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. I got some other articles. A lady who says she got pregnant from watching porn. I want to talk about just the stupidity level of the American people. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We'll be right back.
Well, it's Friday night and he's pulling them over. He sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror? Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Mm-hmm.
it seemed like he was part of the dream when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, we're rolling back here. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. Let me turn that music down a little bit. Sounds really high in my headphones. Hope it sounds good to you guys. Coming to you from Cahuilla, California, I am Dutch Jones. It's a little show I do from time to time. This is Stronghold Radio. We like to call it that. Try to get it to catch on. We're trying to get more people to listen, more people to host shows. You can always contact us through the website, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, that's DutchJones.info. I spell Jones funny, J-O-E-N-S. I did some, what are you doing to that microphone, Luke? I wish I had a camera. I was doing some checking of my ancestry over the weekend, and, Doc's hacking up on the chair. And I ran my biological father's family back. I was all excited because I found out that they were here like in the 1630s. They were Dutch. They were in what would later become York, New York. They were New Holland, New Amsterdam, Long Island, those kind of places. They survived in the early 1600s several attacks. They were members of the militia. They were all upstanding folks. It's a strong Dutch name, basically, and it was easy to find them and find several listings of what they did when they first got here. The lowest guy was a cobbler, and the highest guys, they were doctors and lawyers for some reason. Why they brought lawyers to the New World, I don't know. Holland has some kind of weird, you know, plan for emigrating people over here and making colonies. They send lawyers, which doesn't make sense to me. Printers, clergy. Things like that. They served with honor. None of them were slaughtered by any Indians that I could find when I was looking at the death rolls between the different wars in the early 1600s here. They stood guard with honor. They didn't get any write-ups. I was all happy. I was like, this is great. Because I had checked back to the 1860s and found out that from New York, the Coney Island Confederates, which were a group of Dutch folks that ran the blockade and made it to Louisiana and served in the 6th Volunteer Cavalry, down there in Louisiana, and they didn't really see any battles or anything, I don't think, but they at least served in the Confederacy, so I was proud of that. So let's find out what they did during the American Revolution. Because Stacy can brag. She's got a guy, what's his name? Josiah Bartlett, who goes back to New Hampshire, signed the Declaration of Independence. Was all this stuff, like attorney generals, all kinds of things he did. Great guy. So, you know, he fought for the holy cause of liberty and all that kind of stuff. So I track mine back, and I'm looking through, and I'm reading all this stuff online that I can find about the family. And I find this one guy, they wrote a letter to the king in 1776, April of 1776, for a restoration. And I was like, well, restoration? So I started looking all this stuff up. They wrote the king and swore to the king, King George of England, that they would be loyal British subjects. I guess they stopped being Dutch when the Duke of York took over Amsterdam and New Amsterdam and all that. So and for them being, as a family unit, loyal to the king, he gave them like 400 acres and a bunch of stuff and letters of recommendation, and he gave them land in Canada. About 20% of them fled to Canada during the American Revolution. But it was really terrible to find out that my paternal ancestors were Tories and traitors. They stayed after the war, so they mustn't have done anything heinous. In fact, I found some writings about them because they later went on to notoriety in New York. They ended up starting a publishing company. They ran for office. They did a lot of good things for New York after the war. It's kind of weird that they would side with the Confederacy, you know, 200 years later, but, you know, 100 years later. But in the beginning, they sided with the king, and it's kind of depressing. You never know what you're going to find when you dig. But I was telling some guy at church on Sunday about it, and it turns out that his relatives, who were good patriotic folks, they were Huguenots that came to America, and they fought for liberty. They actually lived in the same communities that Anthea, that Stacy's family and my family did. So our ancestors, me, Stacy, and somebody from church, probably all mingled in the same area. It's kind of interesting. But mine were on the wrong side. Isn't it weird how that happens? For those of you that didn't know, Sunday, and I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but I found out about it too late. I got an email from the Michigan Wolverine Militia asking me to participate in National Open Carry Day, which was June 5th. And it really hit home here because today, and I haven't found any news on it yet, they were voting on banning open carry in California. It may have already happened. I don't know. Maybe Stacy and Lou could look that up for me and we can see. But Sunday was National Open Carry Day, so I got on the phone immediately, contacted several church mates, contacted the pastor, sent out emails, and we had 7 people open carry to church on Sunday. 2 women, Stacy and the pastor's wife, Lou, of course, and me and some other folks. There were a few people that were concealed carry. I'm not going to judge, but in California, if you have a CCW and you ever open carry, you can lose your CCW. It's one of those restrictive, tyrannical things. That's why I don't have a concealed weapon permit anymore. I don't want to be subject to their treasonous laws. But hopefully if other people out there heard about it, they participated in it. We did participate in it at church. It was really nice to see the pastor. Lou, were you able to save the sermon? I know it. Yeah, so when you hear the sermon, when you download it, you'll hear the pastor. Because we had some visitors. It's like, we just want to let you know. Well, the reason we're wearing guns is because our right not exercises are right lost. And it was pretty funny. There were only a couple people. Well, the pastor's mom was funny. I looked over and she was doing something. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm making a list of everybody who's wearing a pistol so I can tell on you. It was really cute.
Oh,
she was making jokes and we're like, don't you feel safe, you know, sitting in here? It was neat to see Stacy always carries a weapon. She usually covers it up, but when we're in church. But the pastor's wife had that .38 revolver on. She was wearing the Little House on the Prairie because that's how she dresses. They're fundamental Christian types. And she looked like somebody from Little House on the Prairie, you know, with a little head covering on and her homemade, I don't know what you would call that, gingham-type dress. And then she had a .38 pistol with speed loaders on it on one side. It was really cool. A high-rise holster, you know, it wasn't low. And so if we'd have told more people, I think more people would have open carried. But next year, I think we're going to lose the right, though. I really do. I don't know. Are you trying to find it?
It doesn't say.
H.R. 144 update.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe they didn't get to it today. You know how legislators work. They never get to vote on stuff. But it was supposed to come onto the California floor today and be voted on. But the NRA was going to hit it and the California Rifle and Pistol Association, CRAPA, were going to, they've got an injunction in hand that they're going to file, because the governor's going to sign it. We've got Governor Moonbeam, who is anti-Second Amendment, and, yeah, well, anti-anything good and liberty-wise. So we're losing rights here, folks, left and right. It's getting harder and harder for me to stay in this stinking state, but I do what I can do. I got to find this story, and I kind of teased it a little bit, and it's not... Where is it here? Okay. Where is it here? Where's the story about the stupid lady? Josiah Bartlett. I can't find it now. Where's the story on the lady? Real men. I don't have the facts. Okay, how did it disappear from my page here? I got the Declaration of Independence story, tyranny of policy enforcement. Well, I remember the story, but a woman whose husband was away at war over in the Middle East, I think she was in Oregon somewhere, with some of her girlfriends went to a trip to New York City. And while they were there, they went to a pornography theater and watched a porno video in 3D. 3D, high resolution, high definition pornography. And there was an African-American person as the main role. Well, 9 months later, she gives birth to what her husband thinks is going to be their child. He couldn't do the math because he wasn't there. And the child is born black. And this is a white young lady and a white husband. So immediately she comes up with the story that the 3D was so good, and this is not a farce, it was an actual news story, that she got pregnant from watching the 3D video and had the black child. And she knows this because the black child looks exactly like the black man in the 3D porn video. I found it here. Woman says she became pregnant after watching 3D pornography. Now, this just, one, I can't believe the guy is dumb enough to believe her, because the article says, in fact, that he does believe her. Now, if this ends up being an Onion thing or something weird, bear with me, because that's not where I'm going. I could care less if it's true. The lives of stupid people, as long as they're happy, fine. I feel bad for the baby in the picture, because they have a picture and it shows, you know, a woman with a little nappy-headed black child. You know, in fact, the child looks a little older than it should be, so maybe it is fake. But what ensued after that is I was thinking of all the other things that could happen to you if you accidentally watched high definition or 3D anything. So I guess I could tell people that I got fat from watching the Food Channel or Man vs. Food. And then I was thinking of it and go, well, if I watch Lady Gaga, whoever, you know, you guys may know who she is. I only know because my daughter brought it up to me one time and I went and looked it up. Lady Gaga, could I get the clap from watching a high-resolution music video of hers? Yeah, look at this baby here. Rexburg, Idaho is where she was from. It's just crazy. And even though my husband believes me, my marriage could be at risk, but he knows I'm faithful, she said as the closing statement. What's her name here? In case Jennifer, what's her name? This is Idaho woman. Her husband was in Iraq. conceivable watching a porn movie in 3D. It goes more to the argument of that if this is true, this is from Ryan's List, a list of stupid news stories, that just how far gone our country is that people are really this stupid. Watch it. People in the chat room are just ignoring me. They're talking about photosynthesis. But it's sad and scary that people are really this stupid. And I think there's very little hope for the American people. Whether it's real or perceived stupidity, that people are really on this level. Okay, let's see here. Texas boy. Oh, remember the story I told you about the Arizona guy? Is this one... Texas? Where was it? There's helmet cam of them killing that guy in Arizona. You should Google it and look. Go to YouTube and Google SWAT team murders Marine, and watch the video. There's nothing graphic in it. It just shows them going in the front door, and make sure you watch that. I was listening to the Kornke show Friday morning, from Friday morning, and there it was. So it was on there. But here's something weird. They raided the former mayor of Tijuana's, Lou, stand up. Stand up. Just do the show standing up if you can't stay awake. They heard reports of gunfire in Tijuana. The Federales show up and they chase some guys into a club owned by the former mayor. I'm waiting for it to load here, so I'm stalling. Lou's falling asleep while doing the radio show, and I'm making him stand up. Let's see if he falls asleep standing up. He's been having trouble with discipline lately, disciplining his body and being good at guard duty and things like that. So Tijuana, Mexico, former Tijuana mayor Jorge Hank Ron, R-H-O-N, one of Mexico's most flamboyant, does that mean gay, businessmen and politicians, has been detained on suspicion of illegal weapons possession, the federal attorney general's office announced Saturday. That's Mexico. Mexican troops raided the gambling impresario's house and found 88 guns, officials said. The attorney general's office said Hank Ron and 10 other people were detained. Mexico, this is weird. Mexican law limits ownership of large firearms to the military and requires licensing of most other guns. You can own like a 22. Violators can be punished for as long as 15 years in prison. There are people serving life sentences down there, American expatriates that brought their guns down there. It's stupid. Hank Roan spokesman Francisco Ramirez declined to comment on the case. His lawyer Adela Ruvicalba said she was seeking a court order to prevent him from being held without charges. What's interesting about this is he was a big anti-crime guy in Tijuana, but you know how they are. They're always corrupt. He had 40 rifles, 48 handguns, 9,298 cartridges, 70 ammunition magazines, and gas grenades. Now, to me, you need that as a minimum just to live in Mexico to defend your house. Now, I'm not knocking the guy having them, but I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna bet that if it gets out, several of those guns he got from the U.S. government. How much do you want to bet that those are ATF-seized weapons that found their way down to his house from when he was in charge? Soldiers arrived at his house at 3:30 a.m. onto his estate, which is a casino, a zoo. He actually has five times more animals on his property than the San Diego Zoo. Now, Roberto Garcia, the top human rights official in Baja California, said that the former mayor told him that the armed men in hoods, someone in civilian garb and others in military uniforms, broke into the house and disarmed his security guards. As reports of the detention spread, a crowd of about 200 of his supporters demonstrated outside. They're like little kings down there, aren't they? They jeered as masked soldiers entered the building with rifles over their shoulders. "Don't take him," one man yelled from a bullhorn. Some of the crowd said the arrest was an effort to tarnish his party. There's a lot of political strife going on down there. To be honest with you, I don't care who's who down there. Now, he's got Tijuana-based gambling operations, and this guy was the mayor, which include a giant casino in the center of the city. They've drawn suspicion from U.S. regulators, law enforcement agencies, have often seen gambling as an easy way to launder illegal drug money, so you know the ATF's involved. Eric Olson, senior associate of the Wilson Center's Mexico Institute, said the arrest is surprising because Hank Ron and his family have survived decades of suspicion. One begins to think they were untouchable. So he probably made somebody mad. One of the powers that be he made mad. A 1999 report by the U.S. National Drug Intelligence Center singled Hank Ron, R-H-O-N, out as an associate of drug smugglers, but the Attorney General Janet Reno called the report incomplete and said its conclusions were never adopted as official. See, isn't that funny? It goes all the way back to the Clinton regime. So you know some of those guns are ATF stamped. I bet at least some of them are the ones that the ATF let walk across the border. In 1988, two of Hank Ron's employees were convicted of killing a Tijuana journalist who reported on corruption. See, you almost wonder, maybe he stopped paying the ATF and he stopped paying the powers that be and they came after him. In 1995, he was detained at Mexico City's airport where customs agents found he failed to declare such items as ocelot fur, ivory carvings, sculptures covered in precious stones, and pearl-encrusted vests. That sounds like a real pimp daddy, doesn't he? Now, he's the father of 19 children with several different women, and several years ago, he was too rich... he was too rich to be corrupt, is what he claimed. I don't put anything in my pockets. I take it out, he said. I have a really big business, and with that money, I support myself, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids. He's a good old working feller. Sounds like a miniature Al Capone. You know, it's kind of like Mexico has become one giant Chicago, hasn't it? The thug culture of Chicago. Down there, maybe they're going to go to war because they'll be jealous. But watch, I like to mark these things and say, look, I told you so. Watch those guns. Just like, I think it was a month ago, I told you Yemen was going to fall, and it did, for all practical purposes. There's some nasty violence going on there. They kicked the president or whatever he is, the Grand Poobah, out of Yemen after shooting him in the head with an RPG, and he probably won't go back. And there's bloodshed in the streets. Syria, I warned you about that just a couple weeks ago, that it was going to escalate. Israel, though, I'm really surprised that the world is, you're not hearing more. And I'm mixed on this one. I'm not a big fan of Israel, but if I saw 2,000 Syrians coming to my border, I'd shoot into the crowd too, probably. I'd probably start with tear gas and rubber bullets before, you know, but if they threw rocks or they fired any weapons, but it was pretty bad, the pictures and stuff, and I encourage you to go looking for those stories. And I think he's doing it to dissuade attention away from the towns he's laying siege to. Although somebody attacked some Syrian military barracks and killed over 200 soldiers in retaliation for some of the violence that's been going on against civilians in Syria. And it's just going to keep going up. They're calling for UN war crimes tribunals to be held. You know, what we did in Bosnia-Herzegovina, the UN wants to do in the Middle East now. And once again, we're going to fund both sides of it, just like we're doing in Mexico. And I just want you guys to remember this. Mark this in your little memory that I brought it up now before everybody else is bringing it up. Let's see. What else we got going on here? We got about 5 minutes left, and I want to share some stuff with you. I'm not going to do a second hour. I've got to get to a town hall meeting on internet access, which pertains to you guys, because if we could get decent internet access up here, we could do a better show. One last thing I want to talk about here. The jobs report. I teased this a little bit. You know, Bongo's saying that everything's good. It's just a bump in the road. They only had 50,000 jobs, like 63,000 jobs created last month. Yeah, over half of them were at McDonald's. Do you really remember McDonald's last month had that big thing? They had like 2 million people show up for 60,000 jobs. They only let 1 million apply. And of that million, only 60,000 got jobs. Well, some of those were part-time jobs, admittedly. So the adjusted growth, they said last year, we added 57,000 jobs to the U.S. market. I'm going to be fair and say half of those were McDonald's. And they're saying that that's not a big deal, that that's not something we have to worry about, that that's not something that's scary. Let's see, where did it go? But the way they manipulate the numbers is what you got to worry about. They don't count the jobs that are lost in that period of time, that 30-day period of time. They don't, and you guys know this, but I just want to remind you of this. Don't believe anything you see. This depression is far deeper than you could ever imagine that they're letting us know about. Now, you probably imagine it pretty deep. I know I do. But in general, the general public is just, okay, it's no big deal. But the number of people that have gone beyond the limits of unemployment, have given up, have opened under, taken jobs for less, are running businesses out of their house, selling stuff on eBay, it's much higher than 9.1%, much higher. And if you go across the country, you got places like right where I'm sitting where it's at least 18% that they'll admit to. Because the other thing, when they say unemployment is at 9.1%, they always whisper this, excluding farm employment. They don't tell you about the number of agricultural employees that have lost their jobs because of regulation, weather, disasters, the economy. They don't talk about that. There are thousands and thousands of illegal aliens and farm workers on the streets here in Central California right now that are not counted in that number. even without counting them, it's 18% in our county. You add in the farm workers because of water regulations, all the stuff going on here, it's more like 40% unemployment in the county of Tulare, Kings, Fresno, and the other counties around here that are mostly agricultural dependent. And I can tell you, you go to places like Detroit, the Steel Belt, the Rust Belt, places where those industries have been hit hard, it's going to be the same. It's not just farming. It's not just farming. And they're just doing more and more stuff to hide that. At the same time, they're doing more stuff to destroy jobs. We just found out today that they're putting in high-speed rail here, and I've made jokes about it before. Like, yeah, cool. Who wants to go 200 miles an hour from to Stockton? It just doesn't make sense to me. But they gave a proposed route out. They're going to shut down 7 dairies just in our area alone. I don't know how north or south of us. 7 dairies, they're going to eminent domain them. And put in the rail. Well, those farmers all showed up to protest. What do you call a dairyman? Farm fields are going to have it go through. And you're not, because of the Patriot Act, you can't go around it, under it, over it. It's going to bisect their land plus the easement. And, of course, you know they're not going to give them good value for their land.
No.
They're destroying the agricultural industry. They've destroyed everything. And why? Well, I was talking with some, like, 80-year-old guys this weekend. Do you know the only reasons we really won World War II? Because of our industry. Pure and simple, because of our industry. We could make more trains, planes, and automobiles than they could make and do it faster. They weren't better. Anybody that knows anything about World War II knows that the Germans kicked our butt in quality. We just had access to more raw materials, more people to make the things, and we could transport them faster. Japan, one of the reasons we used the nuke is because they were pulling all their troops out of China. Up until the end of, right, you know, when we dropped the bomb, we were facing the Navy and Marines and a little bit of Army in the Pacific. Their armies were in China and India and Burma. Well, when things were getting bad, they were recalling their military, planning for a mass land engagement across the Aleutians into Alaska and California. We had to drop the nuke in that tactical strategic situation. But the reason we won is we could make things faster. Well, we don't have an industrial base anymore. We don't have an agricultural base that'll sustain itself because of legislation, regulation, limits. We just can't do it. We can't make tanks, planes, trains, and automobiles now. We go to war against something like China or Russia, we're doomed. So those are some things. I'm going to leave you with that negative thought. I want you to think about that. Look at history. Look at how we did things then compared to what we're able to do now. We're in big trouble, folks. So keep praying and playing and training and discussing and sharing. Support this ministry if you like it. If you don't like it, don't support it. But if we're going to keep doing it, we're going to need donations. Look at that donation ticker. It's not very big, and we haven't gotten anything in the mail. We got a $35 donation yesterday from one of the old guys that I was talking about. God bless the Baders for giving us $35. We'll put it towards the internet bill. So I am Dutch Jones. This is Stronghold Radio. If you're tuning in from Liberty Tree Radio, please just rerun this hour. We've got to go to a town hall meeting, part of being a Patriot's participation. And I'm pretty much a one-man show with two support staff here. I can't be two places at once, but I need to be there to make sure they don't get away with tyranny or stupidity while I'm not there. And I need to be there to make sure that we talk about internet access to this community and making sure that we get a fair shake if they're going to give away what's the word I'm looking for? Public access on our power lines. I want to make sure it comes up here. So we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be on with, abolishislam.com for the second hour, me for the first hour. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully he'll be here. If all the technology, I'll be here. We don't have enough money to go anywhere for a while. So we're stuck here. We'll talk to you later. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause, O Liberty.